As we shift to today's reading, we reach the turning point in the focus of Jesus' teaching. This is where Jesus starts to focus on the Passion. We need to connect the dots a bit to understand how what we've heard in the last couple of weeks links to today and sets us up for what is to come. Remember that Peter just stated that he accepts Jesus as the Messiah. Now Jesus explains what has to happen, and it doesn't fit Peter's vision. When Peter objects, Jesus sees Peter's words as an extension of the temptation of Satan to put current world wants over God's plan. Remember how the tempter came and tried to get Jesus to turn stones to bread, to jump and expect angels to save him, and to exchange the world for worship of Satan. Each time Jesus answered with God's word that supports the design and plan God had for this world. Now, when Peter tried to convince Jesus that he could teach without going through the suffering, pain, and ultimate death of the Passion, Jesus once again stood firm on God's word. He goes on to explain exactly what must happen to comply with God's design, that he must suffer and die, then be resurrected on the third day. Of all the illustrations that we are given, this is perhaps one of the most powerful examples of the role of selfless service in service to God. Jesus then explains that this is what Christians are called to do themselves. We are put to put God's design ahead of our own comfort. This message had to have been very confusing to the disciples. How can our Savior simply accept suffering and death? Isn't our hero supposed to fight back with fire and fury? How can the one we expect to be our leader be a suffering servant? Writer Douglas Hare, in his book Interpretation Matthew, shares that nothing in the disciples' background prepared them for the notion that Israel's predestined champion should suffer a shameful death. The Messiah was expected to inflict suffering and death on Israel's enemies and on the wicked within Israel, not to experience it himself. Yet here we are with the path that Jesus showed us. Confession leads to discipleship, which then leads to glory. Part of the challenge of today's reading is that we miss the glory because today's words don't refer to the transfiguration, the ultimate moment of glory. The message itself is clear. Believe in what Jesus teaches, go out and do it ourselves, then we can and will ultimately go to heaven. Part of the reason this is so hard for us is because it runs counter to the prosperity gospel. You know, the one we like to hear and that makes us all feel good. The teaching that financial blessing and physical well-being are always the will of God for us, and that faith, positive speech, and donations to religious causes will increase your material and physical wealth. But here, Jesus is trying to explain that to follow God's plan, we need to go beyond just simple belief and encouraging words. We need to act in selfless service to others. We need to sacrifice, for some, even our own lives, in order to truly be part of the kingdom of God. This passage seems like it could be a real downer, but it's actually reassuring if we carefully look at what it means for us. It gives us reassurance that the death of Jesus is not meaningless, but is part of a greater plan that ends with hope and promise. It reflects that the potential deaths of the disciples at the hands of Romans or others is also not meaningless. And it is a huge reminder that if we as a Christian people hold together with conviction, the glory is what comes next, the transfiguration. The crucifixion itself is not good news, but it is a path to reveal God's true glory. The kingdom of God is revealed through balancing the tension of the shame of crucifixion with the glory of the resurrection. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "All who want to come after me must say no to themselves, take up their cross and follow me." Over the years, this text has been abused by many. So we have to be really careful in how we choose to follow it. There are those who have chosen to use this message to justify the oppression of others in slavery, violence, and abuse. They repeat the phrase, "take up your cross," as if God has determined that we have a fate, and no matter how unjust the circumstances are, we are to just suck it up and deal with it. There's a big difference between a criminal who has to pay the consequences for their actions and a disciple who needs to act without worrying about the opinions of others with worldly views to serve in devotion to God's kingdom. Service and devotion to God isn't the absence of fear and doubt. We will still be unsure at times, and we will still feel bothered by the rest of the world questioning why we're doing what we're doing. But we overcome that fear and doubt through faith. Faith that in providing truly selfless service, we are indeed pointed on the right course to God's glory. So where and when have you seen Jesus' face in the serving of others? I know I've seen selfless service in plenty of places. As a father of a teacher and a member of a board of education, I see selfless service in the work of teachers every day. I watch as they put in countless hours of their own time and spend countless amounts of their own money to ensure their students have everything they need to succeed. As an example, my daughter Caitlin's school opened for the year this past week, and she was greeted with a new student who speaks no English. Here is a fourth grader who is in a new school, doesn't know anyone, and doesn't understand a word that anyone around him is saying. Caitlin's response? She leveraged a translation tool on her phone to tell the student in a very rough Spanish, "Aprender español, usted aprenderá en inglés, aprenderemos juntos." I will learn Spanish. You will learn English. We will learn together. Total giving of self that one student might feel a small comfort in a frightening situation. We can certainly see selfless service in the work of hundreds and even thousands of volunteers following Hurricane Harvey. Hundreds of thousands of hours of time freely given to ensure those who have no home to go to, no clothing to wear, no food to eat or water to drink are provided with not just the necessities of life, but an empathetic ear and a caring heart. So how are we sacrificing to serve? I'm not talking about a minor inconvenience for a brief time here. I'm talking about the fabric of the way our lives are woven. It's easy to say yes here while we're all gathered together in this house that God built. But it's much tougher when we go out into the world and want to focus on the hope and promise of a Christian life but not the giving of one's life to make it happen. When we step outside those doors, too often the word self leaves our dictionary. We return to focus on what we want and need out of life and set aside what we are asked to do and give instead. As Christians, we're called to repent. Not just to be remorseful, not just to be sorry, but to turn away from what we were and toward what God is calling us to be. We say we are ready to follow him, but are we asking the critical question, what is more important, survival or faithfulness? Do we justify the need to survive as a denomination, as a congregation, as an individual, over being radically faithful to God? I've said it more than once here. This church is called to follow God's mission for it. That may mean prosperity, but it also may mean being called to take risks that challenge our financial ability to continue on. If we are heading toward an end to God's current mission for this church, we need to go out in a blaze of God's glory. Our support of launching our Stephen ministry, the creation of our Little Free Pantry, and considering partnership with our sister churches in the community are all examples of the selfless service we are called to in this time and place. So let's leave this service refreshed and renewed. But let's also leave committed to giving, not just part of ourselves, but all of ourselves, to the service of our fellow people, as we are called to do by Christ. For the Son of Man is about to come with the majesty of his Father and his angels, and then he will repay each one for what that person has done. Give all of yourself today, for the shining kingdom of God is preparing for us as we do. Amen.